Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing media that is coming out that we're excited about. So I like how you say mm-hmm sometimes, because it's always got this like air of skepticism to it.
Really? Interesting.
I don't know. It always reminds me of like when your mom is listening to you like come up with an idea and she like knows it's going to fail, but she's just humoring you, and that's how you I feel like that's what yours sound like.
I'm glad to know that. I feel like that's a powerful thing.
Okay. You've got powerful mm-hmms is the long and short of it. Okay, so we're just going to like randomly mention things we're excited for and talk about them. So you go first.
As we should.
I'm putting you on the spot, as usual.
I appreciate it. Thank you. But also, I feel like this thing that I'm very excited for is kind of something that we can both enjoy. It combines a lot of my favorite things.
Do I have to guess? Is this like...
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to, you can try. I don't think you will. It's...
Okay, let's do it.
Give it a couple of shots, yeah.
Okay, is it a game? Let me start that.
It is a form of a game based off another game.
It's a form of a game based off another game?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Is it like an actual play thing? Okay. Is it the Critical Role people?
Yes.
And are they playing Monster Hearts?
No.
Okay. That would have been, okay.
You were 50% there.
What are they doing?
They are playing a one shot set in Hyrule.
Oh, they're doing like a Tears of the... Okay, because friggin' Matt Mercer is Ganon, so yeah.
Also, Robbie Damon is coming back to that one shot, and Emily Axford is finally going to be on Critical Role. I mean, she's already technically on Critical Role because she started. She's starting as a guest right now on it, but I haven't been keeping up with the third season. So for me, it's going to be the first time I see her interact with the Critical Role crew, and she's an amazing player.
Dear listener, don't know who these people are. Robbie Damon is famous for Googling, played a character called Curious Cat on Ruby.
He's famous for a lot more.
Did a bunch of animes. Something called Baki. Oh, he was Goro Akechi in Persona 5?
He did a lot of stuff.
They freaking Akechi? Oh my god. I am suddenly completely sold on this if they've got the voice of Akechi in there.
He's a really good player.
You should have led with that.
And I did. I said him before I said Emily Axford.
No, but you should have led with Eva's Akechi. But Emily Axford, if you need to know what she's famous from.
She's on a lot of Dropout stuff.
She was in Adam Ruins Everything.
Yes, she was. And she's an amazing role player.
Oh, like, she was in The Quarry, which is a game I tried to play and then couldn't get into.
Like, every time she does anything in any... Let's play anything. Not let's play. What is it called?
Actual play.
Thank you. I'm so tired. I've been rushing around all day.
You're always rushing.
You got me there. But she crafts her characters to the story. But she also makes them so amazing. I don't think I've ever seen her make a character that was not optimized for something very specific. And then come in clutch every single time. Like,
give an example.
I'm going to try to do it without giving spoilers. Okay. So, for example, in the second season of Not Another D&D podcast, she plays a character. Her name is Fia, and she's like a bog witch kind of person. She grew up isolated and alone in like a forest. And she made Tensor's floating disc into a spell that was so useful in a fight, like ridiculously useful. And I don't know how she did it. Like, how do you use that spell usefully in a fight? And she did it.
I'm trying to think, do you pick someone up with it and drop them? Do you cover something over their head and drop like
explosives? So what actually happened in that fight is they were being both attacked and the enemy was attacking civilians and some other civilians were in a very dangerous, precarious place. And because there are three players on the show, all three of them kind of split tasks very in the moment.
Yeah.
And she managed to get all of the civilians out with tensors by going back and forth and having, like, she has, like, a steed and using that disc as a way to ferry people out of this situation instead of this encounter being extremely dangerous and also having them decide between the lives of NPCs and their own. She kind of just, like, made it not a choice anymore.
Gotcha.
She just fixed everything. And she does that repeatedly in every single thing I've seen her do. It's insanity, and it's always spells that you don't usually use.
Interesting.
So I am so excited for the shenanigans she's going to pull with
Matt. When is this happening?
It's coming out on the 30th.
Okay.
So Tuesday.
It's... Am I doing anything on No, I could probably check it out.
It's, I don't know, just... Axford does everything really well. She's probably out of every single person that I've seen play D&D in any form or any RPG. I think she's my favorite.
Okay.
Like, over Critical Role people, over Taz, over Nadpod, she is absolutely number one, my favorite player ever.
Interesting.
And I even started watching Dimension 20, and their play style really complements hers. And still, she shines the most for me.
Okay.
Can I just, like, fangirl for a couple more minutes?
Go ham.
So I started watching Star Trek Odyssey, which is a Dimension 20 actual play. And they're
Star
playing...
Starstruck. Like, Starstruck. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Star Trek, but I was like, did you say it with an accent? No.
Star Trek. Space Truckers.
Yeah.
But basically, actually, Brennan Lee Mulligan's mom made a comic book, Starstruck, and he based this game, like the setting, off of her setting, and they're using the Star Wars 5e rules, I believe. So it's like a lot of stuff happening at once, but they're basically playing this space adventure, and in it, there was supposed to be an encounter that technically should have been like a boss fight. With a scary robot made up of, like, broken androids. And it's supposed to be really, really creepy and scary. Bro, she turned that encounter into such a wholesome moment and made an ally immediately, like, one sentence in. It was amazing. Brennan was ready for them to roll initiative. And she just, instead of sneaking in, she just walked out and started chatting with her. It was great. So, like, she does a lot of stuff like that where... Everything her character is about is story, and the mechanics support it, and I really love it. And that's why I'm excited for this one shot. The last Zelda I've played was when I was in middle school, around the same time, actually, that I last played Mario Kart.
Okay.
I had my DS Lite, my limited edition Zelda one.
Yeah.
And whatever Zelda game was out at the time is the one I played. It's where Link was like a chibi kind of Link.
Okay. I don't really know because...
I don't remember. Know. I can look it up. I don't think it matters. But it's been over a decade.
I will say this. I like the Zelda games. Like, I get them when they come out and I play them and enjoy them. I don't think I'm quite on the... I always feel like such a pretender fan compared to the people who I see on the internet who are like... I took the entire weekend off work and played 50 hours of Tears of the Kingdom in 4 days. And I'm just like, I'm not quite on that level. They're good games. I enjoy them. I've played several of them, but I just don't play them to that level.
I understand the concept because it is a franchise that's been around for longer than most people who are fans of it have been alive.
Yes.
And...
Including me.
Huh.
Right. I think they actually are older than me. Let me double check. Because I think it came out in like 86 or something. Yep, 86. It's older than me.
There you have it. And so I understand people getting super, super attached to it. And I also understand why Critical Role people are doing it. Because the game just came out, everyone is hype, and Critical Role always does this sort of stuff whenever a game comes out. I think they did a Ravnica one around the time that something was happening with Magic the Gathering, either like a revamp or something, or something got released. I'm not sure. But around that time, they did a Ravnica one-shot. They did an Elden Ring?
I watched that one.
Yeah. They did a one-shot for that.
Which was a little frustrating because there was clearly only one person who like kind of understood the like
assignment.
Understood
the vibes of the game.
Yeah, the vibes of the game. Everyone else was kind of being goofy, and this person was like very much in that like Souls, like I don't know, just like they were in the right mindset, and it was just it was good to listen to, and like they clearly had fun and it was enjoyable, but it was just not very Dark Souls or Elden Ring.
What do you mean? The stacking of horses was not in the spirit of the game?
I guess not, yeah.
They also had a Doom one recently. So they do this periodically. They do like when games release and they get sponsored. So I am very excited for Emily to just like do her thing. So I guess I'm just excited for Emily Axford on Critical Role, which is something I've wanted for years. I don't think I've ever been like this hype about anything on this podcast.
Okay.
What are you excited for? I'm putting you back on the spot, I guess.
Okay. Well, I think we'll just kind of continue going, I guess, in semi-chronological order. And I will mention that I am very excited for Final Fantasy 16, which comes out on June 22nd. This is the first mainline Final Fantasy game made by Creative Business Unit 3 at Square Enix, which is the division overseen by Yoshi P, who is the lead director of Final Fantasy 14, the MMO. The music is done by Soken, who does the music for Final Fantasy 14. The narrative was written by the person who wrote Heavensward, whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, with localization by Koji Fox, who he of the many Simpsons references. He loves to put lots of Simpsons references in his translations. So it's a really rock star team. Obviously, if I know them all by name, like that's the nerdiest freaking thing. But I know my favorite game developers by name. Oh my God. I can't remember my coworkers' names. But but in any case, so this is the first kind of like mainline Final Fantasy game to come from this team. It's the first one since Final Fantasy 15, because we've, you know, it's been nearly a decade, not quite, maybe like 8 years. And I just think it looks really, really good. And I think they're doing some kind of like Game of Thrones gritty thing that seems to be working. I don't know, everything about it looks really great. And I'm just excited for it. Also, to connect it to like the purpose of this podcast, it was recently announced that the game was banned in Saudi Arabia. And there was some speculation that might be due to maybe there is a gay character or two. Although there was also speculation, it might just be that there's some nudity. So it could go either way.
Okay. Let's hope for the former.
I mean, or both.
I mean, with some pretty often, if it's queer, there's a little bit more nudity, which is kind of weird, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just excited for it. I have it pre-ordered, which I try not to pre-order too many games. So this is like the one time that I will make that exception. And it comes out June 22nd, and I'm taking the day off work. Speaking of people taking time off work to play video games. And all our friends are super jealous because it's only for the PlayStation 5, and I'm the only one who has one.
Yeah, I can't justify getting it right now. The only game I would really be playing on it would be Horizon.
There's so many other good games at this point, though. There's Horizon, there's Demon's Souls, there's the new God of War, there's...
I know, I just haven't been keeping up with God of War, I haven't played the new first one.
So it's just... The Final Fantasy VII Remake I played. There's the intermission where you get to play as Yuffie, and okay, I'm not a big fan of Cloud. I find him kind of annoying because he's too... he's just too emo. And, like, I don't know. I know he's supposed to kind of be a blank slate so that, like, you can assign what you want to him. But I find him annoying. But Yuffie is just the best because she's so goofy. And I don't know. I just feel like she is taking this at the right level of seriousness that you need for, like, a Final Fantasy game. I don't know. She's kind of goofy and having fun. And just everything about her is great. So Final Fantasy VII Intermission, if you have not played it, even if you didn't like the remake itself very much, highly recommend checking it out just for Yuffie.
Interesting.
She rules. She's so cool. I had her. She was the one who's dressed as a Moogle that was my icon on Discord for a while.
With the hood.
The Moogle hood. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so that's Final Fantasy 16. Your turn again.
My turn again. I didn't know this was coming out until you mentioned it, actually. Oxenfree 2.
Yes, Oxenfree 2. Okay, I need to check. When is it coming out?
It should be available in July. July 12th, 2023.
Okay, awesome. So did you play the first Oxenfree?
Yes, but only once, which I know is the wrong way to do it.
I know, but it's scary.
For me, it's more of the fact that I just cannot replay games. I can't. Okay. My brain doesn't let me. I just don't want to.
I also think after I played it, I think maybe they patched in more content, if I remember correctly. So I really should go back and replay it.
I should too, but my head is like, if I go back to replay it, I'll have to play it twice this time. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was a really good game, and it's really beautiful. Yes.
I like when games do something different with the art that's just totally different from what everything else is doing. And I think this did that. Like, it did this very, like, I don't know what to call it, like, papercraft style, maybe?
It's, it gave me a lot of, like, Child of Light vibes.
Yeah.
And a lot of Life is Strange vibes
together. Yes, and well, you got a blue-haired girl in high school exploring, I don't know, a spooky mystery, I guess.
Guess who my favorite character was?
I'm trying to remember the characters. I played it a long time ago.
Just Google it, look it up, and you'll know exactly.
Okay, let's see. Alex is the blue-haired girl. Uh-huh. Ren, her stoner friend. Jonas, her new stepbrother. Meets Clarissa, the ex-girlfriend of Alex's deceased. Is it Clarissa?
Of course.
Yeah.
She's so mean.
Okay, I was just like, she's the ex, she's got to be mean, and therefore Val likes her. Okay.
So from my understanding, the second one is going to be probably not related to the first one.
Well, I feel like the first one kind of, wrapped up pretty tightly, so
It seems like one of those situations where it's Life is Strange 2 to the original. It's connected, but completely new crew, completely new story.
Oh, yeah, looking at the art, we've got a redhead this time. Mm-hmm. That's Riley. What the two, we've upgraded. We've gone from blue to red.
We sure did.
They didn't have that technology back in 2017.
And they are sticking with the gender-neutral naming conventions of their female protagonists, which I dig. And the color composition of that poster is excellent. That teal sort of blue-green and the orange.
Yeah. Just
dang. So pretty.
I'm looking at the screenshots. It looks really nice. It looks like a nice evolution on the style. Like, you can totally tell it's the same style, but clearly they, have better resources this time. Like, it looks a little more stunning than it did before, even though it was all, the first one was pretty beautiful, but, it's just they've refined it more.
Yeah, as one would say, it's very neato looking.
Neato looking?
Neato.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
I'm so glad you've played this game, because I feel like this is one of those games I play, and, like, no one I know plays games like this. Like, I had no one to talk about stuff like this until I met you.
Aw, Chloe. You know one game I think you'll like? Have you heard, hold on, let me see. Have you heard of Device 6?
No.
It's like, It's kind of a novel. It's like
a surreal thriller in which the written word is your map.
But it's not a novel. It's very excellent, and you kind of it's so interactive, and
it's only on Apple, but now I have an iPad. That was my graduation gift.
Oh,
to myself.
Nice.
So I can play this.
You should absolutely. Yes. And I don't know what it costs right now. When I bought it, it was like $7 or something. And I bought it, I think
it's $4.
I think I bought it like 7 or 8 years ago, or very close to when it was released. And I was in Russia on vacation, and we had a train ride that was like 3 hours maybe. And I played the game while I was on the train, and I finished it in that time period. And I was like, for a week, just like reeling from how fun it was. It is, they use words extremely creatively.
Okay.
And there are puzzles, and like the story is really interesting and fun, and like it's noir but also surrealist, and like I like it so much. You should try it. It's really good.
I'm gonna download it right now. I've got my iPad up.
Oh, heck yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go.
I'm actually going to replay it just so we can chat about it.
I want to be... I'm decisive about these things, because if I don't do it right now, I'll never do it. Device 6. There it is. $3.99. Touch ID. Purchased. It's downloading. Thank you for the recommendation. Mm-hmm. I'll play this tonight, probably in bed, because I like to play a little game on my tablet before I fall asleep.
I really hope you enjoy it, yeah.
Okay, so Oxenfree 2, July 12th, you said?
I believe so.
Yes, July 12th, according to Steam. I am very excited for that. I didn't realize it was so soon. I thought it was in the fall.
No, it's quick. It's quick.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so in the same vibe and coming out in August is a game called Goodbye Volcano High. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Okay. This game, let me sell it to you, mm-hmm. appears to be Life is Strange with dinosaurs.
Okay. So I Googled it. My first thought was furries.
All the characters are dinosaurs, and it's their last year of high school, and I think
the
asteroid is about to hit, and so they're all going to die at the end of the year. And so it's about, like, finding meaning in this final year.
The character you
play as a non-binary character.
Oh, that's awesome.
I feel like that's so rare. Like, I can't even think of that many games that, like, let you play as a non-binary character. So first mm-hmm. of all, that's already awesome.
It's so unfortunate that the premise of the game is that you die at the end. What the heck?
Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe that's like a false alarm.
I hope so.
The game's not out. But maybe, like, I could totally see that being the thing. Like, it's just a metaphor for your childhood innocence coming to an end as you enter the world. I think it mostly looks to be kind of visual novel-y. But, like, there's also some, like, rhythm games around playing, because you're in a band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a really cool game, and they've been featuring it. It was supposed to come out in June, and it got delayed. So I hope it's not like in trouble. Like, I hope that isn't like a sign that things are going wrong somewhere. But it looks really good. The art is really good. You're right that it does have kind of a furry vibe to it.
It really does. You know what else? Anytime anyone tells me any media about dinosaurs, the first thing that comes to mind are all the Tumblr, like the little Tumblr comics where it's about the meteor and the dinosaurs, and it's always very wholesome, but also so sad. I'm gonna send you one right now. We'll link it in the description. But geez, this one kills me every single time. It's not even that sad, but like it's there. So just to describe it.
Oh, okay.
It's just like this tiny dinosaur going on a big dinosaur long neck. What are they called?
A brontosaurus.
And
a long neck. Jesus. I've never heard someone
maybe call it's in Russian and I just translated
a brontosaurus a long neck. I mean, they have a long neck, but I would call it a brontosaurus. Are you Googling it now to see if there's anyone else calling it a long neck?
No, I'm trying to figure out if I just translated it from Russian. I'll figure it out later, probably.
Okay. Yep.
Remember, it's the same thing where I was like, sun bunny, and no one knew what I was talking about. And yeah. I was so confused. But yeah, this tiny dinosaur is on top of this big dinosaur, and they're looking at this really big star, really happily, and you know what the star is!
Yeah.
It also reminds me of Land Before Time.
This reminds me of that comic about the pig that makes me cry every time I look at it.
The pig? There's Let one about it. A two-headed cow. A two-headed
cow.
Oh, calf.
That's it, the two-headed cow.
Oh my
the two-headed
god.
Cow, that one. Every single time I see that. I get that,
depressed for like yes. a month every time I see that comic.
Oh my god.
If you know, you know. Awful. The boys are gonna take it out.
If yeah. you really want to make yourself cry, Google two-headed calf comic. And it's the second result on Google Images.
And it's not about kids hurting a calf.
No.
It's just very sad, Chloe.
Yeah, it's really bad. Okay, anyway, before I get teary-eyed, Goodbye Volcano High. Let me see when it's coming out.
It's on Steam, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be on PlayStation and Steam. Yeah, PlayStation 4 or 5 and Windows. Comes out August 29th, developed by Co-op, who their only really claim to fame before this was they did a expansion for Lara Croft Go.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah, so Goodbye Volcano High. Okay, your turn.
Okay, let me Google this to make sure that I have it correct. Okay, so I have yet to read the first one.
Okay.
But I'm super excited that the next Yang Chen book is coming out. Avatar, The Legacy of Yang Chen. So the first one came out a while back, but it's about the Air Nation Avatar before Aang. Have you heard?
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Wait. I'm looking. Sorry. I just need to look up. Yep. Okay. So there's
the first
this is
one
the third
is the
book?
Dawn of Yang Chen, and then the second one is The Legacy of Yang Chen.
Okay. That's what. Okay. Got it.
And while I'm slow to catch up on those books, I do love that it's keeping the franchise alive in a way that doesn't suck. Also, there's going to be an Azula comic that's coming out.
Okay.
And I'm also super excited for that because Azula is my favorite.
Yeah. Is it set like...
It should be available September-ish. After this...
Okay, but is the Azula comic
actual...
set after this? After
I believe
the
so,
show,
yeah.
Or...
I think it's set after... After she escapes in one of the other comics.
Right. I remember that. I read that one where she... It's about finding Azula and Zuko's mom.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Search or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that one. So I believe it's yeah. a while after that happens.
Okay.
So I'm just excited anytime Azula is getting more character development. I really hope it's not one of the bad ones where they... remember they released the Korra comic book and accidentally made homophobia canonical in the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yikes. And genocide of queer people. But we're not going to talk about that. Let's move on. What else are you excited for?
Thanks for that, silence. Val. Crickets, crickets. All the... RPG materials arrive, so we need to run the Avatar RPG soon.
Yes, we did a one-shot. You
yeah.
ran it.
Yeah.
It was when it was super, super, super early in the development, so we weren't even
yeah.
sure how fighting worked at that point. But it was a lot of fun.
I think they clarified it a lot.
Oh, for sure.
Based on the feedback, because I gave a lot of feedback on that being like, combat made no sense, but otherwise we had a blast.
Yeah, I think when we first looked at the, like, starter pamphlet booklet thing, it kind of made sense. But then in practice, we actually realized that didn't at all. Like, we didn't know
yeah.
what to do. But we had a lot of fun, and that's what mattered. And now we're going to have a lot of fun with rules that make it more fun.
Yeah. We just have to find someone to run it because I don't want to run.
That's fair.
No, I can't. I can.
DMing is so hard.
It isn't even that hard. It's just like sometimes I want to be a player, you know?
Absolutely.
But I will do it if no one else will.
Maybe we'll peer pressure someone else into doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be a good person to peer pressure, though.
Let's get Becky to DM.
Is Becky? I don't even know if I've heard her talk about Avatar.
Which will make it even funnier.
Okay. Fair enough. Like, because when I ran that one shot, I seriously sat down and I was just like, I mapped out how every scene would look as an episode, like a scene from an episode of Avatar. Like, I wanted to make every scene feel like a real scene from Avatar. And so, like, I was very careful in how I planned it. So, and I think that worked really well. Aside from the fight, which was pretty meh, but I think it's better now. So, anyway, something I'm excited for. I had something and then I forgot about it.
You messaged me a bunch of things. Maybe it's one of those.
We've already talked about three of the four, but I can mention it's coming out soon. Diablo 4. I wanted to mention that. So Blizzard is a garbage company and I don't want to support them.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. But like,
they're frustrating. They're just the worst.
It's a new Diablo. I know things have probably gotten better there. And I did read something where one of the developers said, like, really, you know, like, they're trying to do better. Although, who knows? I don't know. Overwatch 2 was a mess. And
still is. They canceled, like, their biggest selling point recently.
Yeah, they canceled the PvE. What a mess. Like, they've been hyping that up for years. Like, everyone was getting excited for it, like this idea of like, yes, PvE Overwatch, and like they have this deep lore that people are interested in and want to see more of, and then they just cancel it. Ugh, they have no idea what they're doing. But I played in the Diablo 4 beta and I had a blast. It feels like a good Diablo game where you click on things until they die and then numbers get bigger, and also you kill a lot of things that are evil. So feels good.
That's good.
I just wish there were a way I could play it without giving Blizzard any money.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, I mean, there's no such thing as ethical capitalism, but like, I think about it, there's a few things. Like, it's not going to have really anything predatory money-wise. There is a battle pass, because of course there's a battle pass, but it's only cosmetics. There's no way to buy like power, which is good. So really, it seems less predatory than a lot of the stuff Blizzard has done recently. And I don't know, I played it. It was pretty well polished, and I had a lot of fun in the first act. So I'm going to give it a shot.
There's a story.
I think a lot of our friends are going to play it.
What? It has story mode? I have no idea what Diablo is.
Diablo?
Yeah. I've never played
it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it's an action RPG. So you have a character who goes through a story.
Oh.
It's... Yeah, so, I mean, it's not usually a very deep story. Like, Diablo 2 was like, Diablo's escaped. You go and you kill a bunch of demons, and then you find Diablo, and then you kill him. Like, there's not a lot of twists and turns along the way, necessarily, but there is a story.
Interesting. I thought it was just, like, an online game, like, WoW or something.
No. No, 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 no. It's... And Diablo 2 was... You could play totally single player. So I'm trying to think what to compare it to that you might be a good reference. Borderlands.
Well, okay. So you can play with other
players. It's like Borderlands. But... Yeah, you don't have to. And it's just there's a story and there's quests that you do and you get a bunch of loot. It's just not a first person shooter. It's a top down click on things game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's coming out, I think, on June 6th. So, pretty soon. Okay, your turn.
All right. Have you played Frostpunk?
No, someone bought it for me and I never played it.
Well, the second one was announced a while ago. I don't know when it's going to release.
Isn't it like a world, like you build a city game?
Yeah. It's basically like... the world iced over, and it's like steampunky. it's like the last surviving place. It's very interesting. It's a fun little colony builder. It like it sucks because it's grimdark, but yeah. A lot of games started to emulate it, and none of them do it quite that well. So I am excited for the second one.
So what is like the gameplay like? Like, are you just building stuff? Are you giving, like, how does it, how do you survive?
I guess? Basically the gameplay is pretty unforgiving in terms of, like population death and stuff. And like the difficulty of survival, you get choices, you know, things like that. But at its core, it is you build like a city and you research and you make it better and you race against the storm that is approaching. I don't know. Basically, any kind of city builder is the same mechanics in a sense. You know, you have a like a set amount of resources, like food, metal, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you just build a city and you try to not lose, and you have to make sure your people are not, are happy, or, you know.
So basically the thing that separates this from other builders is that, like, it's difficult, I guess?
It's difficult. The map is very contained because you build kind of like, so usually those games you build either on like a grid or, you know, square buildings and then whatever. This game is circular, which is kind of refreshing. It doesn't make a huge difference, but it kind of made me rethink about how I usually build my colonies. Okay. There's not necessarily a story here other than people traveled from like other places to this like weird area. I think it's the poles. One of the poles.
Okay.
And it's, there's like an engine that's at the center of your colony that you have to feed coal to. And if you don't, your people start freezing to death. So there's like that aspect of it. You have to think about the radius, and it just introduces like two or three different mechanics into a city builder. And that's interesting.
Okay.
But the trailers are really awesome, and the second the trailer for the second game is so cool.
Yeah,
it was really fun to see. I also just like the art style.
Interesting. Yeah. If I'm ever in the mood for that sort of game, I'll definitely give it a try.
It is tough. Like, at some point I was playing it and I was losing badly, and I'm like, this is making me so depressed right now, because, you know, it's climate change and people trying to survive, but then, like, it not working.
Yeah.
So it did make me quite sad a few times. But overall experience is very positive. They also have a DLC that's that is purely about how the area you're in got built in the first place, kind of. And that game is played in the last autumn before the eternal winter, basically. And it's just like an interesting concept, because it's the same style. It's a colony builder, but in the DLC, instead of people trying to survive and you're making shelters and stuff, this one is like, you have to build it before the time runs out, before our sponsors drop.
Before frozen
times. And also you have to make sure your workers don't die. So you have to balance like OSHA.
Always an important thing.
You have to balance OSHA versus, like, we need to get this done OSHA. Right now. Okay. They do fun stuff with mechanics, so I'm excited for the second game. They said it's not going to be, like, a rehash of the first one, but it's going to keep in the spirit of it. So I wonder how they're going to do that, and it's cool.
Do you know when it's coming out?
I don't think they announced, like, a date.
Yeah, Google says to be determined. Okay. Cool.
Sorry, I don't have any information about
She doesn't
that.
Have any information about it.
thanks, Google. next up, Nimona, the film. So in preparation
excited.
To talk about this, it's coming out June 30th. So this was Andy Stevenson's, I believe he started writing this in college. it was in like development purgatory for a long time. So it was supposed to be originally made by Blue Sky Studios, aka the people who made all the Ice Age films. And then Disney bought the parent company, Fox. And then Disney, until they got into a fight with DeSantis, was very hesitant to do anything LGBT. So the project was being delayed a whole bunch. And then somehow Annapurna got involved and has revived the project.
Who's that?
And Annapurna, they're just a film company.
Oh,
they do cool. They do pretty much, they do like every indie film. I don't know, they do, not like every, but they do a ton of indie films. So I'm like, let me, Kajillionaire was Annapurna, Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I'm trying to think some other ones that you would recognize. American Hustle.
Mm-mm.
Her. Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay. So big stuff.
Yeah. So they do, they do all these very like, I feel like high concept kind of interesting things. They've also got a division that does video games. Annapurna Interactive, which did What Remains of Edith Finch, Outer Wilds, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Neon White, Stray. So it's all about, they like to do like very like kind of offbeat things and like a lot of different things. So in any case, the important part is Nimona is coming June 30th. Val has read the comic. I have not. I started it years ago and never finished it. I
read it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, so I'll have to revisit it. I remember the kind of vibes and I really liked it, but I don't remember what it's actually about. I know like the premise, but it's real good. I like it. I know that I had good associations with it.
And it's got a good cast. Chloe Grace Moritz as Nimona, Riz Ahmed as Ballister Blackheart. Ooh,
okay.
Knight. And I didn't know this, that he has an Academy Award. What did he win?
Probably Star Wars. I don't know. Is it Star Wars?
Hold on. There's a separate page. He won Best Live Action Short Film for a film called The Long Goodbye, okay. Which was based on an album he did. It's weird. Okay, interesting.
He regardless, does a lot of stuff.
Got a pretty big... Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. It's got a good cast. RuPaul is in it. And yeah, I'm excited to finally see this because this is... I think I first heard about this back in like
forever ago,
2017. Yeah. Like this was something that was like, I feel like I was hearing about this back when I was still taking classes. Like that's how long ago this was. And I finished my coursework a long time ago. So, because I have this like mental image of me reading about it on my phone during a break during class one day for some reason. I don't know why I have that hyper-specific memory, but I do.
I do remember seeing it, like, so long ago. So very, very long ago. And
so very, very long ago.
I didn't realize how much back stuff Annapurna did that I know.
Yeah. No, they're a big deal. I mean, they're everywhere, I feel
I'm
like.
I'm just looking through this stuff, and yeah. Jeez. And it's so pretty, too.
Yeah. I feel like Annapurna does a lot of very stylistically beautiful, both movies and games. Like, thinking about the games they've done. Have you ever played Sayonara Wild Hearts, by the way?
I've seen you play it, and I bought it. Okay. I just haven't played it yet.
I don't know if we could do a full episode about that, because it's pretty short. But, like...
It's like a flash game.
We should talk about something.
What is Thirsty Suitors? I've just been scrolling, and it looks very queer.
Val is finding new episodes to do while we record.
I'm just scrolling through their very pretty website.
And we did an episode about What Remains of Edith Finch, didn't we?
No, we mentioned it in our Gone Home episode, I think.
Oh, gosh. We need to... I mean, okay, it's not the gayest game ever, but...
Look, as long as we're talking about...
It's worth talking
there
about.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, Thirsty Suitors. This does look very... Okay.
Right?
Is it out? It's upcoming. Okay, here, we stumbled onto another thing to talk about. Thirsty Suitors, an adventure video game. Oh, Thirsty Suitors. Yes, I did see a trailer for this with the woman with the skateboard and the exes who are like...
She has a skateboard? It has to be clear. There's no way.
And it's got like...
They did Journey and Outer Wilds?
Yeah.
What?
Dude, they did everything.
Oh my god. We talked about so much that is here on the pod and out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Annapurna. Okay. Other things that are coming out that we're excited for.
Is it my turn or is it your turn? I lost track.
I don't really know whose turn it is anymore.
Oh, you were talking about pneumonia.
Yes.
So yeah. I guess it's me. I don't think I have anything else, but I will say when I saw the Nimona trailer, at first I thought it was the same art studio that did Arcane until I like watched it. But like I really like that art style. Like the 3D, 2D mix. I have something that I'm excited for.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Spider-Verse, the second movie coming out.
Oh yeah, which is getting very good reviews.
Is it already out?
No, it's not out yet, but they're letting some critics see it, I think, and I heard very good things.
I actually watched the first one very recently, only like a couple of months ago, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful.
It's
and the
stunning.
Story is fun.
And I love Spider-Gwen.
She's so cool.
I literally have art.
Like, I'm shy around her.
I have art of her sitting on the 7 train behind me.
Yeah, she's really neat. But I think the thing that I like most about it is that I'm really tired of the origin of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I've seen it about 800 times. And Morales is like a fresh breath when it comes to this franchise.
Yeah.
So I really like it. And the concept is really fun too.
And the whole like, multiple spider peoples.
Mm-hmm. Just the humor of it.
The noir Spider-Man with Nicolas Cage.
With this little Rubik's Cube.
Oh, so good. Yeah, that's a good movie. I'm looking forward to the sequel. Okay, maybe just rapid fire. I just want to list some other things that like are in development that I'm excited for that don't have like necessarily release dates yet.
Sure.
The next Baru book. I know that there. Seth Dickinson has mentioned... Our friend of the pod, Seth, who we interviewed way back in the day. I forget which episode it was, but it's early on if you're looking for it. He mentioned on his blog that there's a draft of it, but it wasn't very good. But it does exist. So next Baru book eventually.
The next Locktomb book. Well, the Barbie.
Barbie movie! We need to talk. Oh my god. Every trailer that comes out for the Barbie movie, I get more and more excited because it's more and more subversive. So the trailer that came out today, there's this part where Barbie's doing this like dance number and then she stops and says, "Do you ever think about death?"
Which is very, very like reminiscent of how kids play with toys.
That's true. It is a very childlike thing to like just totally go off the rails about when you're just doing something completely different. I don't know, but it's just... I'm very excited for what seems to be a very self-aware, existential Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even explain. And I love, what's his name, who's playing Ken?
Ryan Gosling.
He's so good.
He's a good actor.
I loved him in La La Land.
I haven't seen that movie.
La La Land, I feel like, deceived everyone. And because you think it's just going to be this silly musical that, I don't know, is about a man and a woman in LA and it's LA's like life. She's trying to be an actress. He's trying to be a musician and they fall in love and it's in LA, but it's actually really subversive. And I watched that movie and like, I was kind of like met about it until the halfway point where everything just starts kind of unraveling in this interesting way, and then I just like instantly fell in love with it. It's so good. Anyway, I love La La Land. Anyway, Barbie movie. I am also so excited for this. We're going to see it on opening night, right?
Oh yeah, and we're wearing pink.
Yeah, we're dressing up for it. So we'll post our costumes maybe.
Maybe I'll redye my hair blonde.
Yes. other things, there's supposedly another Mass Effect game in development.
Yes, I'm very cautious about it.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a Dragon Age in development. Dreadwolf. Again, cautious. I feel like they didn't, I don't know, like, the Dragon Age games, they have not screwed up yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hope that they do well with it, because they've really been dropping the ball lately.
Yeah, BioWare. Oh, where has my BioWare gone?
What else?
I'm in a weird mood today. I don't know why I'm saying all this weird crap. Oh, there was this great Kickstarter for this game that's inspired by, like, 1990s JRPGs called Break. It's like a tabletop role-playing game, and I really want to get that and run it, because I don't know if you know this, Val, but my D&D campaigns are basically just inspired by JRPGs. Like, I know. I feel like stylistically, because I've played with a lot of DMs, and I know people who run their DM, or who run their campaigns very, like, there's, like, the very simulationist approach where people run it, like, day-to-day, and, like, you know, like, you spend a lot of time just, like, existing in this world. And I'm just not, I can't do that for some reason. Like, I can play in it, but I can't run that. And so instead, my thing is, like, a much more like a JRPG, which is, like, you are going from story beat to story beat, maybe with a few, quote-unquote, random encounters along the way, but it's just going to keep going. There's not going to be days of wilderness travel where you're just kind of finding out what to, I don't know. I just can't run my game. I like always have to have something. So if this new system is good, which the one reason I haven't pledged for it on Kickstarter is because they didn't put out like a test document, which is kind of a bummer, because I would have totally backed it on Kickstarter. If they did, because I want to see the rules before I pay a bunch of money, because I've been burned by that before. But I am excited. I think it will be pretty good. I think the Kickstarter is still going. I think it's called Break. Yeah, it's Break. And let's see if it's... Oh, no, the Kickstarter ended, but you can still pledge for it. And it's really cool looking. So, anyway.
I also have one more thing.
Go for it.
There is an independent animation studio called Studio Heartbreak. And I just recently started supporting them on Patreon, but they are coming out with an, like, a little animated, it's a supposed to be a short film, but it's about a seafood chef and a mermaid, and it looks pretty. Okay. It looks very pretty, and also, like, dark, but also very sapphic.
Okay.
So,
Studio Heartbreak?
Studio Heartbreak.
And what's the name of the, let me see. It's called The Lovers, isn't it?
Yes. Right now it is.
WLW short film. Watch the trailer on Kickstarter.
And it looks really cool. It's just beautiful.
It looks like it's happening, because their Kickstarter is going and they've gotten $300,000 of $60,000, so.
I didn't realize
that. Oh, this is beautiful.
But yeah, I saw them, and so, like, I saw them on Patreon. Well, I saw them on Tumblr.
You pledge.
And on Tumblr, it was, like, their Patreon that was advertised. So
if
that's
you
what I
pledge $10, you get the movie, so not bad.
Yeah. So it's really neat. It looks very pretty, and the perspective work is awesome, and I don't know. They're pretty active on their Patreon as well. It's, I will say, it's a little not safe for work, from what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because, well, mermaid and also, you know, boobies.
Turns out, things that live in the sea don't wear a lot of clothing, you would have thought.
But it's very cool. That's something I'm very excited about. I almost forgot to mention it. But I think I'm all out of things.
I think so too, and then the moment we get off this call, I'm gonna think of something and feel like an idiot, but...
I'm probably gonna think of something, but I won't feel like an idiot.
Feel free to write in and tell us what we forgot that was very obvious.
What are y'all excited for?
Yes.
You can tell us on...
our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, which is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. And we have a Tumblr.
The pod, InMediaLez.tumblr.com.
Our website is InMediaLez.com. You can reach us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. And we have a Discord server, so you can come hang out with us and post things that we missed, or cat photos, or make fun of Val. I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, you can do it. Like, whatever. I'm untouchable. Yeah,
or all of those, if you prefer, which is what I do, so.
Exactly. And guys, we'll see you in the next one.
Ron DeSantis launching his campaign and it totally failing was the funniest thing ever. And I was laughing so hard because screw that homophobic jerk. He is such an idiot. And I'm so glad that his campaign is failing. Chloe out.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, and like really queer people, and sometimes they even talk about non-binary folk. Once again, thanks for listening, and we appreciate you.